The unique light has come, who has become the helper to the suffering ones, to remove the pain, to make them meditate on Nam. This is the Bhajan Ikkajyoti Niraliyayi on page 52. When the black night of falsehood comes, the truth gets hidden. When the clouds of tyranny come, religion feels suffocated. But when the will of the Lord comes, it shows his skills openly to remove the tyranny, to make us meditate on Nam. He is everyone's companion, and he makes them meditate on Nam. Obeying the orders of the Lord, he makes them drink the cup of nectar. Becoming a man, he came and showed the secret of Sachkhand after meeting Sawan to make others meditate on Nam. We are dirty for ages and ages. He makes us clean. He himself removes the dirt by becoming the washerman of souls. We have no control over him. He is always teaching us to put us on the path and make us meditate on Nam. He is the dear divine light of his father Hukam Singh. Poor Jaib wants support, and he has been helping him. The Sangat has come together to congratulate Gulab Devi and to celebrate the Bhandara of Kripal. A unique light has come, who has become the helper to the suffering ones, to remove the pain, to make them meditate on Nam. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 52.
Ikajota nirali ai dukiyada bane sahai darida mitavannu jinam japavannu
ikajota nirali ai dukiyada bane sahai darida mitavannu
Jada kura di masya aye sacha chipa jandaye Jara jula made badala ona dharma kumalandaye
Jada kura di masya aye sacha chipa jandaye Jara julama de badala ona dharama kumalandae
Jara moja prabudi aye O jare kaladiki aye julama hatavananu
Jinam japavananu Ika jota nirali ai Dukiya da bane sahai Darada mita vandanu Jinam japa vandanu
O sabda sanji valate nama japandai Mana hukama prabuddha amrita jama pilandai
O sarada sanji valate nama japandai Mana hukama prabuddha amrita jama pilandai
O Bhanda Vanake Aya Satya Kanda Da Peda Bataya Milake Sawananu
Jinam Japa Vananu Ika jota nirali ai Rukia da banesa ai Daridamita vandanu Jinam jipa vandanu
Asi janama janama de mele ujala karandai Vanaruda dhobi apa mele nulahandai
Asi janama janama de mele ujala karandai Vanaruda dhobi apa mele nulahandai
Saripesha nako ijave, o haradam hi samajave, rasate pavananu.
Jinam jipavananu, ikajota nirali ai, nukiyahada vanesai. Daridamita vandanu Jinam japa vandanu
Pita hukama singa dapiara nura ilahi e Gariba jaiva chahe sahara ho e sahai e
Vita hukama singa dapiara nura ilahi e Gariba jaiva chahe sahara ho e sahai e
Mila kehe sangataya ulaba deve nude dandai Bandara kirpala manavananu
Jinam jipavananu Vika jota nirali ai Dukhyada manesai Daridamita vananu Jinam jipavananu
A unique light has come, who has become the helper to the suffering ones, to remove the pain, to make them meditate on Nam. And I'm going to continue reading in Sanchi's great book, In the Palace of Love. This is chapter 2, The Value of Human Birth. And Sanchi says, there was a time when this creation did not exist. There were no trees or birds or animals. There were no mountains or oceans. There were no human beings. But it came in the will of the Almighty Lord that he should become many from one. And from that will alone, as Guru Nanak says, everything was created. That ocean of power of all consciousness became many from one. And from that power of God, the mountains and oceans, Khans and Brahmans, humans and animals, birds and trees, vegetation, and all things were created. And after creating all this with his will, he came and lived among the gods and goddesses. And among the human beings, he came as a human being, and he took care of the creation he had made. After creating, he thought, where will this creation go? How will people be able to come back to me if they want to? So he came in the human form, because we are human beings. Only a human being can become a teacher of human beings. That is why he came in the same form that we are in. After coming in the human form, he explained to us about the creation. God Almighty has always sent his beloved children, the competent Mahatmas, into this world. The purpose of their coming is to make us understand the reason of creation and why we have been given human birth, what we are supposed to do in the human birth. Even though the Mahatmas are almighty, all competent, and perfect from the beginning, still they are so humble that they do not say that they are all conscious or perfect. Only a teacher can make you a teacher. Only a wrestler can show you how to wrestle. In the same way, only someone who has done meditation can teach you how to meditate. So even though the Mahatmas are perfect and prepared before coming into this world, still, in order to make us understand that without doing meditation and without working hard, we cannot be successful on the path, the Masters also, in their lifetimes, work very hard in meditation and teach us how to become like them. But what can the Masters do if we are not ready to receive their grace? If we are not prepared to mold our lives according to their teachings? As Kabir Sahib says, what is the fault of the Master if the disciples do not mold their lives according to his teaching? It is like blowing air into bamboo, which has openings on both ends. The air will not stay there. What can the Master do if the disciples have become like that? I have told this story many times. There was once a king who went into the forest to hunt and lost his way. He became very thirsty and thought, if I don't get water, I may die. There was a woodcutter who lived in that forest who made charcoal to sell on the market. When the king lost his way, somehow he met him, and the woodcutter gave the king some water and saved his life. The king was very pleased and grateful, and he thought, this person has saved my precious life. I should give him something that is very precious. So the king said, well, dear one, I am the king, and whenever you need anything, come to my court, and I will give it to you. After a few days, the woodcutter went to the court, and the king asked him what he would like. The woodcutter said that he was very poor, and the king became pleased that he could help him and gave him a grove of sandalwood trees not far from the city. The king thought that he would be able to sell the sandalwood and make a great deal of money because sandalwood is very valuable. But the woodcutter was not happy. He had expected the king to give him a lot of money and precious things, and he didn't appreciate the sandalwood trees. He had no idea of their value. Still, he thought, okay, it's better for me now because I won't have to cut wood far into the forest. I can cut it right here and make my charcoal and sell it in the city. So not knowing the value of the sandalwood trees, he turned them all into charcoal and maintained himself by selling it in the city. After some days, the king was passing by that grove and he thought, maybe now, after cutting all these trees, my friend who saved my precious life will have made a lot of money and be living very comfortably. But when he saw the woodcutter, he was just the same. Same torn clothes, same axe in his hand. And he was astonished and asked him what he had done with all the sandalwood trees. When the woodcutter told him, the king asked if there was any at all left. But he said, yes, I have this one piece with which I moved the wood. The king told him to take that piece of wood and sell it in the market. And when he did, he was amazed that for that little piece of wood, he got many hundreds of rupees. And then he realized what he had done. The Mahatmas lovingly tell us that this world is like the forest. And God, the timeless Lord, the owner of the creation, is like the king. When, because of some good karmas of the past, God showers grace on us, he gives us as a prize, a reward, the sandalwood grove of the human birth. But since we do not appreciate the value of the breath which is put in the human body, We go on wasting it, making charcoal out of it, losing our breath in worldly and sensual pleasures and indulgences without understanding how precious those breaths are. If God showers grace on us and we do some little meditation, or if we have done some good karma and God gives us the reward for that, then we may come to realize how precious our breaths in human body are. But once we have lost the human birth, what can we get? Once the birds have taken all the grain, what is the use of repenting? Master Kripal used to tell a story that always reminds me of this. This was on one of the very first tapes that we had. Mr. Khanna sent it up to us before Master came in 1963. And we played it probably thousands of times over the years. In that tape, he told the story of a master who came and gave a philosopher's stone to a person, just as far as I remember, as a matter of grace. He gave him and he told him, this is a philosopher's stone. If you touch iron with this, it will turn it into gold. And he left it with him. He said, after some time, I will come back and take it. I'm leaving it with you for a while, so make good use of it. So the man was very grateful, and he took the philosopher's stone, and he went down to the ironmonger's yard where iron was being sold in bulk, and he inquired the price, and they told him it's so much a ton. And the man thought, well, it's very dear. It's expensive. I better wait and see if it goes down. And he waited a few days and he went back and it had gone up. And the price kept climbing and the month went by and the master came back and took the philosopher's stone away. And his master used to say he didn't realize by buying one ton at that price he could have had millions of dollars worth of gold from that. And he said that the philosopher's stone is the human body. That's what we have been given. And with that, we can turn our experiences into, you know, the gold of spirituality. That is what we have been given. The Baba Sawan Singh Ji often used to tell this story from the Bible. There was a person who had three servants. Once, when he was leaving for a while, he gave some money to all of them and told them that they should invest it in merchandise, work hard in their business and increase what they had been given. The first servant worked very hard and made a lot of money. The second did the same and doubled his capital. The third servant buried his money in the ground, thinking that he didn't want to lose the capital which his master had given him. After some time, when the master came back, he called all three of them. The first two gave him all the money they had made, and the master was very pleased. He said, this is praiseworthy. You understood what I told you. You have worked hard, and I will give you more powers and rights. The third servant presented the master with the same money he had given him and said, I did not do anything with this because you always try to get money which is not yours. I was worried that if I lost this, you would be upset. So I didn't do anything. Here is your capital. How could that master be pleased with someone who did not do anything with the capital he was given? So Mahatmas lovingly explained to us that God is that master, and we are those servants, and we have been given the capital of the human birth. And there are certain responsibilities which we are supposed to attend to in order to increase the capital which God has given us. Those who are sitting in this human body attend to those responsibilities. They do human deeds and also the devotion of God. God opens his door and welcomes them and gives them more rights and more powers. But those who do not increase their capital, who just keep it or lose it, God is not pleased with them. Guru Nanak says, there are those who increase the capital which God has given them, and there are those who lose it. And now Sanchi begins to comment on the Asa Divars, which is the basic structure of this book. True are your Khans, true are your Brahmans, true are your lower, true are your forms. Of course, those are all Khans, Brahmans, and lower, which is the plural of lok, are all terms for various levels of worlds and planes, spiritual and otherwise. So Sheikh Baram, who remember is the grandson of Sheikh Farid, a Sufi master who is conversing with Guru Nanak, and who this, at least this part of the Asa Divars, represents Guru Nanak's answers to Sheikh Baram. What is true in this world? Is speaking truth the only true thing? Guru Nanak replied, speaking truth is indeed a very good thing. One does that when the effect of Satagun is upon him, and it is one of the good deeds. But truth is that which never perishes and which never destroys. It is the power of God. In all that God has created, the Khans and Brahmans, in other divisions of the creation, the different parts of the body, all things which God has created are also truth, because God himself is sitting within everything he has created. He who is not affected by the three gunas, and of course the three gunas, the footnote explains, are the three qualities or modes of being which make up the created universe. Masters refer to these many times, and they are also found in various Indian scriptures. The Bhagavad Gita explains the gunas very carefully, very fully. They are Satagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, also Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Satagun is peace or equipoise, Rajagun is activity or energy, and Tamagun is inertia. And it's the interaction of those three which create the universe that we see in front of us, and also to a great extent within us. He who is not affected by the three gunas is the Gurumukh. And of course, the Gurumukh is the person through whom the master speaks, the mouthpiece of the master. And he receives glory in the court of the Lord. Mahatma Pipa also writes, whatever is in Brahmand is also in Pind. That is, whatever is in the spiritual plane is in the physical plane. Pipa says, those who search for it, get it. Also, another way is to say the macrocosm is in the microcosm. All the Mahatmas have said, we could not have recognized the Khans and Brahmans. We had no understanding of this creation. It was God himself who sent his beloveds and who made us realize and understand his creation. True are your doings and all your thoughts. True is your command. True is your court. True is your will. True is your order. True is your mercy. True is your sign. Guru Nanak sings the praises of God Almighty and says, your court, your satsang is truth. Your thoughts of whom you should bring to the satsang and whom you should keep away is truth. Your will, your orders for all creatures is also truth. Millions and billions say you are true, and true are all who depend on you and get strength from you. Lovingly he says that those who sing the praises of God and remember him, and remembering him become his form, are also true beings, because that name that they remember always remains in this world. Once Guru Nanak asked some dear ones whose name would be remembered. They answered that those who benefit the people by making resting places or digging wells, or those who have children, would be remembered. But Guru Nanak was not satisfied, and he said, the name of the Almighty Lord, and name, of course, is Nam. The words are absolutely exactly the same word. Name is the English translation of the Sanskrit word Nam. Remains in this world forever. And God remains here forever. And in this age, only those who become the Gurumukhs of God will be remembered forever. The Naam is the only thing which remains. Those who do the meditation of Naam are remembering God and thus become the form of God. God cannot be destroyed and neither can they. So it is the names of those who meditate on Naam which is remembered forever. True is your praise, true is your advice, true is your nature, O true emperor. Guru Nanak Sahib says, sing the praise of God. Whatever thoughts we have of you or your power are true, and whoever sits and sings your glory and praise becomes true. Nanak says, those who meditate on you are true, those who are born and die are false. Now he says, those who do your devotion and connect themselves with you, they also become true ones and rise above the pain of birth and death. The untrue ones are those who, by looking at other people, come to the satsang but still do not have enough faith in the master. Sometimes they bring faith and sometimes they lose it. And in this way, even though they come into the satsang of the master, they will not become perfect. Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say, those who go within and see with their own eyes know what is real. Even if the whole world tells them it's different, they will not believe it. If you yourself see a donkey with your own eyes, the whole world may tell you it is a horse, but you won't believe it. The Lord of my soul, the form of the Shabad, Supreme Father Kripal, always said that we should not be attached to the body because it does not remain in the world forever. But you all know of the chaos that occurred when he left his body, among those who were around him and knew about him, how they fought with each other and even went to court. But this poor one always said, the master never dies. The master never leaves. Those who say that the master is dead should be taken to court and asked why they took someone as a master who was involved in births and deaths. The perfect masters are never involved in birth and death. They never die or leave this world. They are always present in this world in the form of the Shabad. Master is the form of the Shabad, and in that form he is always present. He never connects anyone with his body. He connects the soul with the Shabad, because Shabad is the power which remains. He may change his body, but the power working within him never changes. But what is our condition? Kabir Sahib says, we have taken the body of the master as the master. We have not recognized the real Satguru working within him, and so we come back into the cycle of 84 lakhs births and deaths again and again and remain in delusion. Guru Nanak says, my Satguru is present in this world forever. He never comes, he never goes. He is indestructible and he is permanent. In the Var of Rai Balwant in Guru Granth Sahib, it is written, the light is the same, the practices are the same, but he changes the body and sits there. Today is Easter Sunday, and of course, what we have just read brings us up to the whole point of Easter, which is the celebration of the indestructibility of the Master. I have mentioned, actually, the last couple of satsangs about the biblical story, what I call the biblical story. That is where the Dear One begins at what seems to be a very good place, falls down very, very far, hits bottom and goes even below that, and then is raised far above where he was in the beginning. And that story occurs many different times in the Bible, and some places where it's not obvious, other places where it's very obvious. It's in the Old Testament as well as the New. The story of Joseph in the book of Genesis is perhaps the most completely drawn out version. The book of Job is the most philosophically explicit version of it, but there are all kinds of references to it. It's sort of taken for granted. Everything that happens in the Bible has to be understood in the light of that story. Even the story of Moses, for example, the prince of Egypt, had to lose everything, escape across the desert, become absolutely nothing after being a prince, before he finally became the spokesperson of God. It's over and over again that happens. It also happens within. And I want to read a couple of sections from the Bible and then a commentary from Kripal dealing with that in connection with, because of course the story of the resurrection in the New Testament is the culmination. I mean, this is like the point, or it is the clearest statement of the biblical story, I would say. The crucifixion, if you know the Apostles' Creed, it goes the life of Jesus in a way that makes it very clear. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You can't get more explicit than that, even to the descent into hell, where, of course, he set, in my opinion, everyone free. The Christian theology has it, he set many people free from hell, but I think, why should he do less than King Janak, myself? I think that many masters have done this, including Jesus at that point. But there are many references to it. I want to read a story from the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah. Not exactly a retelling of the story, but it's kind of the way it works within, if you can follow it. Elijah is in a very bad place. People are after him. They're the king and queen of the northern kingdom of Israel, where he lives, want to take his life. He's extremely unpopular among powerful circles. And he says he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went on the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, or Sinai, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. There proceeded a long conversation between Elijah and God. That's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. For one thing, I think that all of those, the storm and the earthquake and the fire, you know, those are the things that happen to us which precede the resurrection, you might say. And the still small voice is the victory of the love that is the core of the universe. But it's also a statement, of course, of why that works. You know, all of the things that happen that bring people down, that constitute the main order of events of the biblical story, these are the manifestations of the God of power, of Kaal. Earthquakes and fires and volcanoes and all that stuff. You know, this is power. This is what seems to be reality. Okay, but when you come down to it, there's nothing there. What's there that matters is the still small voice, which is the God of love, which is the sound current. And that is the way, when we first hear it, of course, that is exactly the way the sound current comes to us, as a still small voice. Other translations render that as a soft murmuring sound. There's a number of different translations. They all make the same point. But if we ever doubt that the God of love and the God of meekness, we can say, mildness, gentleness, tenderness, is superior, more real, more true, as Guru Nanak would say, than the God of power and bluster and might and force, all we need to do is remember the prophet Elijah and this story. And the other section I want to read is from the 15th chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, which is the earliest writing in the New Testament on the idea of resurrection. And he begins by telling the various sightings of Jesus after he was resurrected. And then he comes and talks about, he gives what you might call the theology of resurrection, which I have to say has largely been ignored, partly because subsequent parts of the New Testament paint a different picture. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This particular section of the Bible, Kapal Singh commented on a number of times, several different places. And I want to read one of his comments on it, which is from his book, The Wheel of Life, which is the very first book I had anything to do with. I printed this book back in 1965, before even the Sampani Press existed. I got to know it extremely well. Of course, the book is mainly about karma, but he also talks a lot about various bodies and so forth. According to nature's law of life, Master says, a man, the embodied or incarnate soul, is like a precious jewel, clothed in three caskets or bodies, the physical, the astral or mental, and the causal or the seed body, all of which, more or less, partake of the terrestrial character with varying degrees of density. And here he quotes what we've just read. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. These are like outer robes of coat, vest under it, or shirt. When the man casts off the physical body, his spirit still is wearing the astral or the mental body. He is also the causal or the ethereal seed body or thin veil under the astral raiment. Until one is able to cast off the physical body, he cannot reach the first heaven, the astral kingdom within. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This casting off or change may occur either through the final dissolution, the disintegrating process commonly known as death, or be brought about by the method of voluntary withdrawal of the sensory currents from the body, technically known as rising above body consciousness, by a process of inversion and self-analysis. The Gospels refer to this withdrawal as to be born anew, or resurrection. The Hindu scriptures speak of it as twice born, or dojanma. It is the birth of the spirit as distinct from that of the water, the latter being from seed corruptible, as distinguished from the former, seed incorruptible, unchangeable and abiding of the spirit. The Muslim dervishes, or mystics, call this death in life, as death before death. One can learn how to withdraw not only from one's physical body, but from the other two bodies, the astral and the causal as well, through the kindly assistance of a master saint who has himself transcended into the beyond and can help others to do so. One has therefore to forsake the flesh for the spirit if one is anxious to escape from the perpetual wheel of life on this sublunary planet, Earth. In the ordinary natural course of things, the jiva, the embodied soul or the incarnate spirit, has, after physical death, no option but in time to return to the physical plane in some physical form, nature of which is determined by his lifelong propensities and inclinations, the intensity of his longings and long-cherished, unfulfilled desires, enshrined in his mental makeup, and predominantly uppermost at the time of death, the overbearing influence of which irresistibly shapes a course for him. So kind and generous is the Father Divine. He grants unto his children what they desire. But if one, under the guidance of a perfect master, Sat Sat Guru, learns the practical process of self-analysis, that is, self-withdrawal from the physical body at will, and develops it by a regular practice, he, while living, gets an experience of the beyond, death in life, with the result that gradually the age-old scales of his make-believe begin to fall away from his eyes, and the world and worldly things lose their hypnotic charm, and he, while seeing things in their true colors and understanding the intrinsic worth of each, grows desireless and free, a master of himself, a liberated soul, Jivan Mukut, and thereafter continues to live on just to complete his allotted span of life without attachment. This is called a new birth, or the second advent of the soul, life eternal. But how can one attain it? Christ tells us, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." From the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke we have, "And Jesus said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Thus we see that death in Christ is the way to live with Christ eternally. "Learn to die so that you may begin to live," is the exordium of all the saints. Among the Muslims, this is known as fana fi sheikh, or self-effacement in the murshid, or the master. It is therefore of paramount importance that one should first seek a living master competent enough to wind up once for all the otherwise endless cycle of karmas, and then seek refuge at his holy feet, and thereby free oneself from the baneful influence of one's deeds, which continue to haunt a person in the form of Eumenides and Furies. So I think all of these things tie together. Master is saying there, in a way, that the biblical story happens, you know, every time we meditate. We begin at the level we are. We go in, we leave the body, or we get to the point, eventually arrive at the point where we can leave the body, which means being willing to give up everything that we have, which can be very scary, which is why many of us find it very hard to do. And then when we do that, when we have given up, you know, our identification with our ego, with our desires, with our fears, with our antagonisms, with all the things that we identify with, which make up what we call us, me, I. When we do that, which is really amounts to death from the point of view of the way we normally look at things, when we really do that, which seems like we're going into the abyss, we actually find ourselves going into heaven. And that is our resurrection. You know, happens within each one of us. Maybe on a daily basis it can. But what St. Paul is saying there about, you know, in terms of ordinary death, he's talking about, of course, is a transition from the physical to the astral. But when the body is, his reference to it, you know, the body that dies is the seed that's sown. It does not mean that that body, as it was, comes back to life, which is more or less what we call zombies, you know. That's not the point at all. It was taken that way to a great extent, but this is because we do what we can with what, you know, is given us. We apply our own mental makeup to whatever truth we have, and what comes out is not necessarily what was intended. But many of the church fathers, especially Origen, who understood many of these things very well, who wrote extensively about this, who also taught the pre-existence of the soul and the possibility of reincarnation and the many lives that the spirit had to go through on various planes before it reached God, was very aware that the resurrection body was not the same as the physical body. If we read the Gospels carefully, we see that the resurrection appearances of Christ bear this out. He came through walls, doors did not bother him. He appeared to his disciples in different forms and so forth. But the point is to remember always that that which is the master does not die. This is the true meaning of resurrection. That which is the master is not the body, and it does not die, and it is always here, here and now. And we should never, ever forget that. And resurrection is possible for each one of us on any given moment, whenever we really want it enough. That's the promise that the Master gives us, and that which is made available to us, for which we can thank God daily.
ਘਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋ ਗਈ ਉਹ ਬਾਹਰ ਸੜਕ ਤੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਪਾਲਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਭਰਾਵਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਕੀ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋਇਆ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਮੇਰੀ ਸੂਈ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋਈ ਸੀਗੀ ਤੇ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਕਿਉਂ ਢੂੰਡਦਾ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਲਾਈਟ ਜ਼ਿਆਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਦੇਖ ਭਰਾਵਾ ਜੋ ਤੇਰੀ ਸੂਈ ਤਾਂ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੈ ਤੂੰ ਘਰ ਹੀ ਢੂੰਡ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਸੋ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਦੇਹ ਔਰ ਵਜੂਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਨਮੁੱਖ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਢੂੰਡਣ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ If anyone loses his needle in the home, and instead of searching for it in his house, he goes outside and he searches. And if anyone asks him that why, what he is doing, he would reply that I am searching for my needle which was lost in the house. He would be considered as the fool. And when he is asked that why he is doing it outside, he would give many explanations that here there are many people, or it's very beautiful here, it's very bright and like that. But he doesn't want to go in his house and search for the needle there. And no matter how much he tries, but still he will not be able to find his needle back. In the same way, God is in our within. He is lost in our within. And if we want to meet him, if we are searching for him, we need to go in our within. No matter if the outer places where we believe that God is very beautiful or there are many people, but still by visiting them, we will not be able to realize him. We will not be able to see him. Gurumukhs or the masters come in this world and they tell us that God is within you and you can realize him, you can see him only after going in your within. But the manmukhs or the worldly people, those who obey their mind, they are not ready to listen to the words of the master, and that is why they just go on doing the useless efforts searching for God outside.
Satgure sivi sada sukh pai Satgure alakh dita
ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਕੋਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਨਾਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਨਾਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਕੇ ਹੈ
Now he says that when we go to the perfect masters, they tell us that if you want to realize the peace, if you want to achieve the peace, that is by, you can get that by meditating on Naam. And you can attain the real peace only when you go back to your real home, Sachkhand.
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ कहते हैं कि परमात्मा ने ए देह बना के खुद ए अंदर बैठ गया और शब्द नाम दा साधन दसन वास्ते फिर वो किसी इंसान दा तन तार के संसार दे उते आया.
Now you say that after creating this body, God Himself sat in the body and to give the knowledge of Shabad Naam, to give the knowledge of the power of God, He Himself came in sitting in the body of some master.
जिस तरह शेर दा बच्चा किसे आजड़ी दे हाथ विच आ गया, उन्हें उस नूं भेड़ां दे विच रला लिया और उस दे उपर अपना समान रोज लद्या करे. किसी शेर दे बच्चे, किसी शेर ने देखा कि शेर दा बच्चा होके भेड़ां दे विच फिरदा है, वो उदे पास गया, कहन लग्या तू शेर है, वो कहन लग्या नहीं मैं भेड़ है. उसने काफ़ी समझाया लेकिन वो ना मन्या. आखिर वो कहन लग्या तू मेरे साथ चल पानी दे उत्ते, तू भी अपना मुँह देखी मैं भी देखूंगा. जब पानी दे उत्ते गए कहन लग्या देख तेरी मेरी शक्ल एक है, वो कहिंदा हाँ. कहन लग्या तू भी गर्ज मैं भी गरजदा है. जब दोने जाने गरजे शेर गरजना हुई, वो जिहड़ा अजाड़ी सीगा वह भी भज गया, भेड़ा भी भज गई और उसने जिहड़ा उत्ते समान सी वह परे मारिया. फिर महसूस करन लग्या कि ओहो मैं शेर हो के इतना वजन ढोंदा रहा, भेड़ा विच फिरदा रहा. यह तो एक कहानी है तो महात्मा सानू दसदे है कि साड़ी आत्मा जिहड़ी है ये उस परमात्मा की अंश है. परमात्मा तो विछड़ के ये भेड़ा इंद्रियां है, जिहड़ा मन है ये चरवाहा है. संत महात्मा वो शेर ये संसार विच आउंदे है जिहड़े आत्मा नू कहिंदे है कि तू भी परमात्मा की अंश है. जद ये मनदी नहीं उन्हां दे समझाउण मुताबक फिर उन्हूं कहिंदे है चल तू साडे नाल, तेनू असी दिखाने हैं कि तेरा घर किहड़ा है. तो आत्मा जो जिन्हां दे अंदर परमात्मा दे मिलण दा शौक हुंदा है या उन्हां दा कहना मन लैंदे है, वह उस नू उहदे घरे सचखंड लै जांदे है और उस नूं अखीं दिखा दिंदे है कि आ देख महात्मा सानू दिखाउण वास्ते आउंदे है, लेकिन असी हिरदा उसा पाक और पवित्र बनाउणा है.
इट इज लाइक इफ देयर वाज अ कब हू वाज हू समहाउ केम टू वन शेपर्ड एंड द शेपर्ड brought him up with the other sheep and the cub gradually started thinking that he is not a lion, he is not the child of lion, he is just like the other sheep. So he started doing the work of the other sheep. He would carry the load and go and eat the grass with the other sheep and he lost his identity. But one lion saw that another lion is among the sheep and he is doing all the things that the sheep should be doing and he felt very sorry for him. He came there and he said that you are not a sheep, you are a lion, you are the king of the jungle. You come with me and I will show you that you are the lion. He said that, and when he says that, the lion who was living among the sheep, he said that no, I am a sheep, I am not a lion. Because the lion had the sympathy for him, he said to him that you come with me, we'll go to the river and I will show you that how you look like. So when he brought him to the riverside, he made him see his face and it was exactly like him. And after that he said that you, I'll roar and you also roar, and then you will realize that you are not different than me. So when both of them roared, the lion who was living with the sheep, he realized that he was not a sheep and he was a lion. And after that he became happy, he didn't have to eat the grass, and like that he always enjoyed being the lion. This is just a story to describe our condition. Our condition is just like that cub who was living in the company of the sheep and who had lost his identity. Our soul is the essence of Almighty Lord, but we have made friendship with the organs of senses. Organs of senses are like the sheep with which we are living, and our mind is like that shepherd who was controlling the soul, who was controlling the sheep and that lion also. When the masters come in this world, they see that the souls are not different than God, and that is why they have sympathy for them. They come to us and they tell us that you are not what you are feeling, what you are understanding yourself. You are something else. You are the essence of God. You come back with us. Let us show you the kingdom of God. Let us show you your real home. And then you will realize that you are not the one which you are feeling now. In the beginning, we are not ready to listen to them. But later on, when we go in their company, we do according to their instructions. And when we go to our real home, and when we see that we are not different than God and God is not different than us, only then we realize. But until we go to the company of the perfect master, we cannot realize our identity and we cannot become aware of what we are.
ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਆ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਲੋਕ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਇਹਦੇ ਹੱਡ ਚਮ ਵਾਸ ਦੀ ਬਣੀ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਕਿਹੜਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਲੇਖਾ ਪੁੱਛਣਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਲੁੱਟ ਲਈਏ ਜਿਹਦਾ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਗਲਾ ਕੱਟ ਲਈਏ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਖਾ ਲਈਏ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਕਿਹੜਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਪੁੱਛਣਾ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦਿਲ ਚੋਂ ਹੀ ਖਿਆਲ ਕੱਢ ਦਿਓ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਇੱਕ ਐਸਾ ਵੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਲੇਖਾ ਜੋਖਾ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਤੋਲ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਪਿਆ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਥੋੜਾ ਬਹੁਤਾ ਪੁੰਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹਦਾ ਵੀ ਲੇਖਾ ਭੁਗਤਾਏਗਾ ਅਗਰ ਪਾਪ ਕਰਦੇ ਆ ਉਹਦਾ ਵੀ ਭੁਗਤਾਏਗਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਗਵਾਹ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਹੋਰ ਲੋੜ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੀ ਦੇਖ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ
Now he talks about those people those who think that this body is just made up of flesh blood and bones and no matter how many bad deeds you do or good deeds you do you are not going to be questioned nobody is going to ask you any question that why you did this bad deed why did you do this good deed and like that and there is nobody who is keeping the accounts of you and no matter what you do you will be always forgiven masters say that you should never believe and never think that no one is sitting in your within and nobody is watching your every single action god is sitting within you and he is watching your every single action and if you will do the bad deeds you will be punished for that if you are doing good deeds you will get reward for it you should never think that you are not being watched god is watching your every single action
guru nanak sahab kehnde nanak akhe re mana suniya sikh sahi lekha rab mangesiya baitha kad wahi ajrail faresta hosi aayi tai aavan saan na sujhi aavan jaan na sujhi peedi gali fahi koodn khutte nanaka odk sach rahi
guru nanak sahab says that nanak says that listen all the disciples attentively that God has a ledger an account book in which he has kept the accounts of all the souls and when the time will come he will come to take you he will send the angels of death to take you at that time you will not be aware of the path where you have to travel if you have not gone to the perfect master you will not know where to go because the path through which they will take you is very dark and it's very narrow and you will not be able to cross it without getting punished and when you will be presented in front of the Lord of judgment your accounts will be seen and if you are the real ones if you have not done many bad deeds you will be accepted in the court of Lord if you are the false ones and if you have not done any good deeds then you will be rejected and you will get the punishment of all the bad deeds you have done
Closing bhajan is on page 252. Sawan, Sawan, Duniya Kendi. The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Laughing and laughing, he gave me the gift of immortal Kapal. Since I saw Sawan, I have hidden him in my eyes. I have never forgotten the way Sawan smiled. Sawan is beloved. Sawan is beautiful. Sawan is the owner of my heart. He was the radiant form who lives in the eyes. His style was unique. His glory was unique. Still I have not understood. Every day I cry. Every day I sing. People call me mad. White beard, broad forehead. Tying a turban he came. Even the fairies bow down to him, and the moon has come out in the sky. The world searches for him outside, but he has given everyone the slip. Let us all go to Sirsa, Kripal proclaimed. The Jayab also sang, Gracious Sawan has caused the drizzle to shower. Come, let us all have the darshan of the radiant form. The world calls him Sawan, I am his intoxicated one. Laughing and laughing, he gave me the gift of immortal Kripal. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 252.
Sawan, sawan duniya kendi meyo dima sitani hansida hansida degiya menu kirpal marnishani Sawan, sawan, duniya kendi, meyo dhima sitani, hansida, hansida, degiya menu, kirpal marnishani. Sawana sawana duniya kendi jadada sawana najriyaya palka vicha lukaya aaj tak na bhulahi sakiya jo sawana muskaya Jada da sawana najriyaya palka vicha lukaya aaj tak na bhulahi sakiya jo sawana muskaya Sawana pyara, sawana sona. Sawana pyara, sawana sona. Sawana dilbar jani. Hansida, hansida, degiya menu. Kirpal marnishani Sawana sawana duniya kendi Meyo dhima sitani Hansida hansida degiya menu Kirpal marnishani Sawana sawana duniya kendi O si eka nurani chehra Anka vicha samaya Choj nirali, shana nirali, aaj samaj na aaya. O si eka nurani chehra, anka vicha samaya. Choj nirali, shana nirali, aaj samaj na aaya. Nita hi rova, nita hi gava, nita hi rova, nita hi gava. Lok kahina divani Hansida hansida dehi giya menu Kirpal marnishani Sawana sawana duniya kendi Meyo dhima sitani Hansida hansida degiya menu Kirpal marnishani sawan duniya kendi chelo niseyo chiti dari choda mata pagari manasaja aya pariyataka unusaj dehi kar diya chanviyambara chadaya chiti dari choda mata pagariban saja aya pariyata kaunu sajde kar diya chanviyambara chadaya duniya onu bahar labdi duniya onu bahar labdi degiya ki tej kani hansida degiya menu kirpal mar nishani sawana duniya kendi me odimasitani hansida dehi giya menu kirpal mar nishani sawana duniya kendi chelo niseyo sirsanu chaliye kirpal ne ho kalaya sawande alune irima jimalai ajaiba ne vigaya Luni seyo sirsanu chaliye kirpal ne ho kalaya sawande alune irima jimalai ajaiba ne vigaya Avo sabhi darshan kariye Avo sabhi darshan kariye O surata nurani Hansida dehi giya menu kirpal mar nishani sawan duniya kendi me odimasitani hansida dehi giya menu kirpal mar nishani sawana duniya kendi
the world calls him sawan I am his intoxicated one laughing he gave me the gift of immortal kapal may God bless us all